Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I'm Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
It's Monday, and I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 21st, 2011, episode 101, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, girls, it's Monday.
There's something wrong with us, something very, very wrong with us.
But it's still Monday.
Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Glenn. I am doing great. How are you guys?
We're trying to wake up. It is Monday. Did you see the new? Did you hear the new opener?
You did a great job. Now,
is that better? You hated the last Monday opener. Is this one better now? Am I okay on this one?
It was so much better. There was not 12 alarm clocks going on and on and on and on. And that was what it just like, you know, when you hear your alarm clock on a commercial or when you're driving your car, it just sends those like shivers down your spine because you just the worst noise ever. Yeah, that's what it was like to me. So I really do appreciate you putting something new together.
Okay, no good. Did you hear the rooster at the beginning? That was just for you. Did you hear that?
I did. And I actually didn't realize that that was coming through the headphones. That I thought that was just next door, my neighbor's house.
I did that just for you. Well, now, people are probably, regular listeners who listen to Friday's show and Thursday's show are probably wondering why we are not hearing harmonica music right now, because you promised to be playing the harmonica to open the show today.
Okay, ready?
So fess up.
It's 6 a.m., for crying out loud. Okay, I don't want to hear about it. It is 6 a.m. My husband is sleeping. I am not about to, you know, shred on the harp at this hour and wake my husband up. So those regular listeners who really actually care about me playing harmonica, it will happen, and it will happen later in the show, and I might just bust it out at any given second, not letting Glenn know when I'm going to do it. It just may happen. If we get a little bit slow or a little bit bored or we don't have anything to talk about, I might just happen to start playing the harmonica, and you will be surprised. It will come about at some point in the show. You will hear it, but I'm not telling
basically
you.
Basically, what all of that boiled down to is when her husband wakes up and she won't make him mad anymore, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm really, and I'm really tired. It's six. This whole time change thing sucks. So
but it's
it may be
spring.
9 Eastern, but it's 6 a.m. here, and it's spring, and it's Monday, and I'm kind of grumpy, so I got to finish getting this cup of coffee down, and I'm counting on you, Glenn, to pull us through. What did you guys do?
I'm kind of grumpy, too. Wait a minute.
Really?
I was kind of grumpy, too, yeah. So I don't know how, you know, usually one of us is not grumpy. So maybe we'll just make this the grumpy episode.
I'll be okay. I'll come around. You got to, too.
Well, there was somebody that's not grumpy but a little bit on the ill side is my wife and producer, Jennifer, who's going to tell us what's coming up today. She's going to try her best anyway.
In the spirit of March Madness and grumpiness, we're going to have a complete wild card show today, so look out, folks. It's kind of like a Friday, but not. Yeah. Well, it's the crazy level of Friday, the grumpiness level of Monday, so it should be really good. We're going to start out with a chat about one of the lesser-known gated breeds, the Missouri Fox Trotter. It's kind of the dark horse out there, no pun intended, and that'll be a fun conversation because gated conversations always get lots of feedback around here, which is really cool. Excuse me.
Told you.
See? Can't get through a whole sentence. And we are going to be hearing from our favorite super scientist, Dr. Gordon Chang of Omega Alpha, and he's going to be talking a little bit about dietary changes in the springtime, good, bad, and ugly. That always is fun. I love Dr. Chang. And we will be scattering throughout the entire show plenty of really dubious news stories and other great things from the weekend.
Now, see,
I
want you, I want to point out poor Jen, she's so sick, but she's like, dietary changes and blah, blah, blah. Basically, for those of us who don't have the extended vocabulary that Jen does, that's avoiding colic. we're going to try to not colic. So I'm actually pretty excited to hear Dr. Chang talk about it. This is an interview that you and Helena did with him on the Stable Scoop. So, we're basically stealing an interview from you guys.
That's right. Well, part of an interview. We're going to play part of it because I just thought it was important that people would that don't listen to both shows would be interested in hearing. You know, one of the things that we all are concerned about in spring, and I'm looking out the window here, and our grass is bright green now. You know, in a matter of 2 weeks, it's gone from brown to bright green. And I know
wow.
Beaker's wearing his muzzle, and, you know, people are concerned about their horses in the springtime, and they should be. Because it is prime colic season, and, you know, the green grass is just like candy, and that's what we talk about in this interview. Now, there's nothing wrong with candy. I like candy. I really like candy, especially chocolate candy. But there is when you get too much of any a good thing, it causes problems in humans and horses. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit there. But first, our first Daily Winnie goes out to Susan Nelson, who was going to take, she had posted on our Facebook page, one of our listeners, our loyal listeners, had posted on our Facebook page that she was going to do a driving clinic over the weekend, and she posted the results of that. I asked her to call in, but she has to work. These people and their jobs, you know? Get your priorities right. So she wrote, can't call in today because I'm working, but the driving clinic at Rawlingswood Farm in Olive Branch, is that Mississippi or Missouri? I never can tell which MS is.
MS would be M-I-S-S-I-S. I don't know. That's a great question.
I don't know either.
It's too early for me to know.
It's in Olive Branch, either Mississippi or Missouri. Was awesome. It was sponsored by Neshoba Carriage Club in Germantown, Tennessee. I'm guessing it was Mississippi then. And the Carriage Club in Germantown, Tennessee, I got to drive a Welsh pony named Classic by myself. She had three great trot speeds. They had a hard time getting me to let somebody else have a turn. Don't have pics yet, but may post later. And then my favorite part of this whole thing, Glenn is right, which I assume means about everything. Don't you? Don't you automatically take that to the 100th degree and assume it means everything, that I'm right about everything? Isn't that what that means?
Susan, you should know better than to post stuff like that on our Facebook page. Because, again, you just went on and on and on about, can't call in today, you did the driving clinic, you drove a Welsh pony, blah, blah, blah. All Glenn saw in that whole entire thing is just three little words. Glenn is right. I don't even know what she's saying you're right about. I'm going to have to go to Facebook and back up and look at this. You probably said, I hope the weather's nice. And she's like, oh, yeah, Glenn's right. The weather's great. So that's probably what she was talking about. But that's all you saw. And
she
Susan,
was talking
you know
about the fact that I was love driving and that she tried it for the first time here and she loved it too. And everything else that I say is right.
All right, I have a Daily Winnie.
Oh, you do? Okay, hold on.
See how I was able, Jennifer, to just move right past that because I just have a Daily Winnie and he has to focus and hit the button. I mean,
yeah, I see that.
From now on, Jennifer, if you're in the house with him, like say you're in the kitchen and he's having an article, or like you guys are having an argument or something, all you have to do is say Daily Winnie and he'll run into the computer and hit the button and you'll win the conversation. I think this is a great idea.
Don't forget, little Miss Jamie, that I still have control.
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close, too far.
So I basically can shut you up anytime. Just wanted to point that out.
I have a Daily Winnie, Glenn.
Oh, hold on.
See, it works every single time. My Daily Winnie is happy birthday to Angela Walkup of Horse Girl TV. Hope you're going to have a great birthday. Sorry it falls on a Monday, but I guess that's just all part of it. Maybe next year it'll be on a Tuesday. Who knows? But happy birthday to Horse Girl TV.
Well, happy birthday, Angela. Hey, I've got an important question because, you know, the heck with this horse stuff. How was the air show?
The air show was actually awesome. It was so awesome.
Tell everybody where you went. What was it again?
Okay, Luke Air Force Base, which is about 10 minutes from here, it's where my husband works, has every 2 years they have what they call Luke Days. And Luke Air Force Base has this huge air show, and it goes on with the warm-up on Friday night and then the show Saturday and Sunday. And it the culmination, like the last event of the day, is the Thunderbirds. Much like the Blue Angels are with the Navy, the Thunderbirds are with the Air Force. And they have this big thing. Well, it turns out that one of my very good friends, when I first moved here, she was a single girl and I was, you know, we were both unmarried. We became very good friends. And she was dating this guy named Aaron. His name, do you want to hear his call sign? What his call sign
is? Yeah. We love call signs.
His call sign is Ice. Okay, cool. So Terry was dating Ice. And
what a cool call sign. Is that because he's cold and ruthless?
I'm sure it is, Glenn. I'm sure it has something to do with that. Or like, you know, he ate too much candy or had a slushie and got a brain freeze. I don't know.
Or he likes the ice in his drinks, one or the other. Yeah. But then they would have called him on the rocks.
I know. They would have called him Rocky. So, you know what? It's got to be the ice going through his veins or something. So Terry and Ice became very good friends of ours, and they relocated about a year ago up to Vegas, where Ice became a Thunderbird. So we got to do some really awesome kind of behind-the-scenes Thunderbird stuff that even Chad hasn't been able to do, who's, by the way, his call sign is Skate. In case you wanted to know, Skate and Ice were like hanging out all weekend long with their friend Goose. So it was
where did
very
Skate
cool.
come from?
I don't want to talk about it. Let's move on.
What was yours?
It's
again?
Not important.
You have one too. What was yours?
Well, but Chad gave me one. It's SHIM, which is an acronym for Super High Emotional Maintenance.
It still fits too. It really does.
Anyway, it's not about me. We went to the Thunderbird show, and it was fantastic. We got to go see the planes up close, and the F-22, which is like a $100 million aircraft, Glenn, was out there, and it's like a spaceship. It's so cool. It, like, hovers. It's this jet, and it flies, like, hovering in the air. It's amazing. So we had a really great time at that, and then we went to a cookout on Sunday at the farm down the street where they have a huge indoor arena. So we actually all climbed up on the roof and watched the air show from the roof.
Oh,
and
cool.
It was so cool watching. And the Thunderbirds, they fly so wide that they actually flew right over us a couple different times. So it was really neat. And I wanted to say, too, that, you know, as Sunday afternoon cookouts do get with adults that maybe have an affinity for, you know, Bud Light and things like that. The more Bud Light that was consumed, the more all the women talked about wanting to ride their horse. Let's go ride. Let's go ride. Let's go ride. Well, I had to go feed at some point, and I was like, okay, well, as soon as you guys go to ride, I'm out of here. Well, then they started having more and more Bud Light. And this, I wrote it down because I wanted to tell you the quote that I heard actually at the cookout. Okay, there's about 8 women, and they're standing next to the barn, just outside of it, and one woman says, I really want to ride. I've never ridden before. Do you have a safe horse? And here's the reply from the other woman. Here it is. Sure, let me get on him first and get all the bucks out, and then you can ride him. Then you're safe. And what does the other woman say? She says, okay. Okay, people, I don't care how much Bud Light you've had in one afternoon. If somebody says to you, let me get the bucks out of him first, since you've never ridden before, and then he's safe, what are you talking about? That is absolutely crazy. It doesn't matter how old you are, you should know better. You should
something
know better.
Something comes to mind.
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close, too far.
Oh, my God, Marianne Kennedy, you are so right, my friend, because if you ever hear somebody utter, I've never ridden before, do you have a safe horse? Sure, let me get the bucks out of him real quick. I'll gallop him around and get the bucks out of him. Then you can ride him. Okay. What? There are so many things wrong with that conversation. So that is when I decided that there's enough people here. I don't have to participate in this. I'm out of here. Quick, quick, quick. Get in the car, dogs. Let's go.
Go back home where it's safe and I don't have to see people being bucked off into the garage or the barn.
Oh, my gosh. It was so dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb. But what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do? So there you go. That was my fun weekend.
Are they regular listeners, these women that you just threw under the barn, so to speak?
Actually, yes. The one that said, sure, let me get on first and get the bucks out, is actually a regular listener. And she listens later on in the day because she's not up this early either at 6 a.m. So I will be hearing about this later. And then I will be telling her how ridiculous of a statement that was.
She probably doesn't even remember it.
Oh.
After all the Bud Lights and all, you know. Hey,
probably
there was
not,
one other thing you told me about this morning in the pre-show that you got to share with everybody. I thought was so cool. I'm a guy. What do you want? About the pilot, what he said to you about the show. That was fun.
Yeah. So we were at this big function on Friday night, and Ice, the Thunderbird,
Ice
says
Thunder.
To me, hey, Ice the
Blood
Thunderbird.
Runs cold.
He's like, how's the show going? And I was like, it's going good, you know, I mean, you know, still got a job, whatever. He's like, no, I mean, but he's like, I saw you got a new truck. And then you also were, well, what's the whole thing about you milking a mini? What is that? And I'm like, are you listening to our radio show? Like, is a fighter pilot, Thunderbird, like downloading our shows and listening as he flies kind of thing? He's like, no, I'm friends with you on Facebook. I follow you guys on Facebook. That's it. I was like, oh, okay, sweet. I milked him, you know, and then tried to, like, make the awkward conversation of, like, oh, are you listening? No, I'm not listening. So, but he is following us on Facebook. So there you go, Glenn. I know. You've got two Thunderbirds that follow you on Facebook.
What's his first name again? Oh,
I'm
just call him Ice.
Anymore.
I'll just call him Ice. I'm going to say hi to him on Facebook because that's really cool. Can I get a ride too if I'm really nice?
Never going to happen. Never going to happen.
Darn it. Well, we do have on the line the host of the Eventing Radio Show. Chris Stafford is joining us here because she has a special event coming up tonight. Tell us about it, Chris.
Good morning, guys. Yes, it's our first live call-in show on the Eventing Radio Show between 7 and 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to have U.S. team member Boyd Martin joining us. Those who are regular listeners to the show will know that Boyd visits us regularly there as a co-host. But this week it's going to be very different because you get the chance to call in and ask Boyd anything around the sport of eventing. So I'm expecting a very lively hour.
Well, you know, Chris, I'm going to be producing the show, and that means that if Jamie decides to call in and talk about Boyd winning the hottest Horseman and Breeches contest, I'm going to have to let her through, you know.
Well, I'm sure she can talk about the sport, something else as well
there.
As Breeches, Jamie, you know, you are a participant in this sport, after all. You don't just look at the Breeches, right?
Well, it depends on who it is, Chris. Okay, no, I will. There's no way I will call Boyd Martin and embarrass myself again. Okay, I already had to call the guy. Chris, this is how the conversation went. Hi, Boyd. This is Jamie from the Horse Radio Network's Horses in the Morning, and you have won an award. Will you join us on the show at so and so time? Blah blah blah. He's like, oh, sure. You know, and so he's great. And then he calls in at the time that specifically he was supposed to call in. And then I had to tell him what award he won. It was completely embarrassing. Hey, by the way, we like your butt. And so you won an award. He was teaching a lesson right then, Chris, with a bunch of 12-year-old girls. And I'm like, I didn't know it was that. I'm like, he's like, I'm teaching a lesson right now. I'm like, did you tell everybody that you won this Best in Breeches award? And he's like, they're 12. So I had had quite enough of talking to Boyd Martin. He does not want to hear from me ever again. I'll just listen in quietly.
Well, I hope we have a ton of callers, and I know that we've been spreading the word between us on lots of Facebook pages this morning. We've tweeted about it. We did send out a press release. I know that you sent out a missive to your list, Glenn, haven't you?
Yep, that went out this morning. So we should well, look forward to it. It'll be fun. I'll be producing that show tonight. And the people can get there by going to Eventing Radio. There's a big banner right in the middle of the page. Just click on that, and you can listen, and the phone number's there. So feel free to call in and talk to Boyd. It's going to be fun having the first ever live call-in show for one of the other shows, not just Horses in the Morning. So we're looking forward to that. And you couldn't have picked a better guest to have first than Boyd. So
he's awesome.
Well, you know, Boyd and I have spent some intimate time in a bus in Florida recently. You heard about that?
Oh, I want to hear more. Sorry. Go ahead.
That too was live on air, Jamie. So yeah, that's as much as you get. It was nice to catch up with him and talk to him, of course, on the show live, because as you know, we usually do it over the phone. But we did a show down there at Red Hills recently, and he was gracious enough to join us there, and I know he'll be a lot of fun. He doesn't mind any kind of exposure when it comes to radio and self promotion. So he's the first one to put his hand up, and it will be a lively show. I know he's got a lot of fans around the world, so hopefully your listeners will tune in between 7 and 8 p.m. this evening on eventingradio.com. You'll find the button there to click on, and the number to call with your questions. Anything on the sport of eventing, Boyd is happy to take your call.
Or what kind of breeches he wears, either one. Thank you, Chris.
You bet.
Talk to you later. Good luck tonight.
Okay. Thank you.
Chris is like, I don't know why I work for this company, because she is like a real journalist. She's like a real news person and stuff, and we're like idiots.
Speaking of calling in, we should mention the phone number if you want to give us a call this morning and want to, you know, stop the insanity for 5 minutes while we chat with you. It's 347-637-3238. Did you notice, by the way, that's 347-637-3238. Did you know, and anybody can call in about anything. We love to talk to people. We don't remind you about that enough. But did you notice that we have started, it's almost every day has become Freestyle Friday now. Did you notice how that's happened over a period of time?
Listen, some people may book guests. Some people may have, like, serious conversations. We have to talk about air shows and drunk people on horses. We had to get that out first. It was important. It was definitely important.
I did something over the weekend that actually reminded us of the morning show here, and that is we watched a movie called Morning Glory. Have you seen that one yet?
No.
That has Harrison Ford in it. It was the movie about Harrison Ford as a news anchor, and he comes in to save a failing morning radio or TV show. So it had Rachel McAdams in it, and Diane Keaton was terrific in this movie. It had Jeff Goldblum was in it as well. It was a very good movie. It was funny. It was touching at points. It was a chick flick with an attitude, I would say. So we actually both really enjoyed it. I'd give it a probably a 4 out of 6 flakes. And if you just want to sit down and have a good time, and it's out in pay-per-view right now, which means it's probably out at Netflix and things too. But it's called Morning Glory. It came out in 2010, and it just kind of reminded me of us trying to get our fledgling little morning show off the. We couldn't get Harrison Ford, so everybody's stuck with me. That's probably the only big difference. And Rachel McAdams, Diane Keaton, and Jeff Goldblum. I mean, we couldn't get any of them either. But
yeah, if you try to get one of those, I know we're in trouble. But you know what? I watched a movie last Friday, actually, that reminded me a lot of our show as well. I watched Pirate Radio. Have you seen that one?
Yes. No.
Yeah.
No, we haven't, actually. No, we didn't see that one.
It's actually absolutely nothing like our show at all. It's these guys that in England, it was like illegal to play rock music, or not illegal, but nobody did it. It was still classical. So a group of eight DJs took a boat to the middle of the Atlantic, and they played rock records, broke the law, dropped the F-bomb, like did everything that they weren't supposed to do. And the whole kind of life, and they only allowed girls on the boats like on Fridays or Saturdays or something. So there would be like chicks boated out to the boat, and then they would keep broadcasting. And it was very funny. Definitely R-rated though. So not for small children.
Okay. It's good to know. I'll be tuning that in right away. You said chicks on a boat. I'll be there. Hey,
yeah, you would like
I also want
that.
I want to get, you know, to classy it up a little. Matt Doyle is one of the stars in the new War Horse production on Broadway that we keep talking about. And by the way, I watched some video of some of the scenes of it because it's in a soft opening now. It has its hard opening in April. And some of the scenes of it are just incredible. I so wanted to go up and see this play. But Matt Doyle is a very good-looking guy, and probably it's the reason that these videos, his blog will be watched so many times, is he's so good-looking. So Matt actually is starting a video blog called it's a backstage video blog of what's going on behind the scenes at War Horse. And he put out his first video, which, by the way, I really thought was good. I found it fascinating. And I have a little bit of the audio from his first video on his blog, and we'll post a link to his blog here on Facebook as well. But here's just a little bit of that audio.
Hey guys, my name is Matt Doyle, and I am here to give you a backstage tour into the world of War Horse, which is now going up at the Vivian Beaumont Theater at Lincoln Center on Broadway. So if you don't know the story of War Horse, it's about a boy named Albert in Devon, England, who raises a horse named Joey, who gets sold into the army of World War I, and Albert goes into the army to try and bring him home to safety. To tell the story, War Horse uses puppetry, and it's some of the most gorgeous puppetry you've ever seen. The horses are absolutely beautiful. We've got 18 puppeteers in a 35-member cast. So we are now going to head into the gorgeous Vivian Beaumont, my favorite theater, and start our first day of tech.
So one of the main reasons you're going to want to watch this, if you're of the female persuasion, is he is really good looking. And a lot of the comments on YouTube, which I'm going to post a video here shortly on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, were that they just watched it to see him. But he actually did show how they control the puppet horses, and it takes three people to control each one. And it's just really cool if you want to see the behind the scenes at a major production like that. It was kind of fun to watch, and I'll post a link to it. And he's going to be doing a series of videos like this, so you can check it out.
I'm going to, I'm going to post. I just saw a clip for the actual thing here. I'm going to share it on Facebook right now. This is a video that they've posted on Facebook or on YouTube. It's War Horse trailer. And this is the one in London, I think. But it kind of shows you the horses that they're using. When he says puppetry, we're not talking about like you're in second grade and you can see the strings that are coming down, those little people that are wearing black are like moving the puppets up and down, their arms are flailing around. No, this is amazing. So I just posted the link to that on Facebook so you can check that out.
All right, cool. Well, let's take a break for our first commercial here today, and then we're going to be back right after we chat about Omega Alpha. We're going to be back with our first guest, Lisa Brooks, and we're going to be talking about Missouri Foxtrotters.
Well, Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products, and their scientists are guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, and they formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. Now, Glenn, I believe we're going to hear from Dr. Chang here shortly.
Yeah, in our next segment, we're going to have Dr. Chang on a little bit of the interview we did with him on Stable Scoop about what to do in spring and, you know, how to make sure that your horse's digestion stays correct this time of year. So we're going to play a little bit of that for you a little bit later in the show.
Well, I've been a fan of the Biotic 8, and you can definitely see, you know, my horse went through the whole cycle of it, Jet, our thoroughbred, and he went through the whole Biotic 8, and, I mean, his coat is better. His attitude is better. He's a happier horse. His stomach, basically, Biotic 8 has all the probiotics and the probiotics and everything that they need in their gut and their hindgut as well. So I think the next thing we're going to move on, Dr. Chang told me the liver flush would be the next thing that I would do, basically cleaning the horse from the inside out and putting all the right stuff in there. So Omega Alpha will bring consumers the perfect marriage of nature and science. So you can look for their products at retailers nationwide or visit their web at omegaalpha.ca.
Well, in our continuing quest here at Horses in the Morning to make sure that we learn about all the different breeds and disciplines and fun stuff that we do with horses, one of our most popular segments that we do on a regular basis is our breed segment. And one of the breeds that we haven't taken a look at yet, and to be honest with you, don't know a whole lot about, and that's Missouri Foxtrotters. And we have Lisa Brooks here to help us talk about Missouri Foxtrotters. Good morning, Lisa, and welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Good morning.
And we are so glad that you could stop by and chat with us today. Let's start with this. I know one thing I know about Missouri Foxtrotters is they have what's called a four-beat diagonal gait. So what the heck is a four-beat diagonal gait?
Well, on the Foxtrotter, when they are gating, they were usually walking in the front and trotting in the back, at a diagonal. And that's what makes them such a ground-covering horse.
Okay, let me think about that. They're walking in the front and trotting in the back.
In the back. So the back feet sort of slide up under the front. And it's a smooth gait.
Okay.
So that's why the pioneers and people like that wanted this type of horse and bred for that natural four-beat gait.
Are they even smoother than, let's say, a Tennessee walking horse would be?
Some are, some aren't. It's just like a Tennessee walker could be smooth and it can be rough.
Okay. It's like my car. It could be smooth or could be rough. Yeah. So they're obviously known for this gait, and that's one of the things that really makes them distinctive. When did they – are they an import? Were they bred here? How did they start?
No, this is an American-bred horse, and they started breeding them in the 18th century. The pioneers were looking for a horse that could go through the rugged terrain and still have a smooth ground-covering gait. And so they bred the American Saddlebred, the Standardbred, the Tennessee Walker with a Morgan, Thoroughbred, and an Arab to get this cross.
Wow. This truly is a smorgasbord of breeds thrown in there, isn't it?
Morgan, a little bit of everything we have.
So, all right, so that's what they were bred for, and I assume that's what they ended up being used for, was really to get through those terrains and to really ride them for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm. They're good for distance. Back when they first started breeding them, they were used for, like, the sheriff used them, the local officials, doctors, to get to and from because they were fast, and yet they were still smooth enough, that I guess they weren't just worn out when they got there.
Well, are they? Does their temperament tend to be quiet, or are they, a little bit feisty? Did they get? What did they end up with as far as traits from all those different breeds?
Well, they have a real even disposition, and with them being able to gait, it made them real versatile. That's why they were used for ranching, and they use them for driving versatility. So they did, they were used for everything. They weren't just like, just a cart horse or a ranch horse or something like that. So they could use them for many different things.
And they don't, as I understand it, the ones I've seen, they don't do the high stepping thing that some of the other gated breeds do either, right? It's really a smooth, it's meant to be, and actually the lower the better, that's what keeps it so smooth. Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
Most of
them,
their leg is straight out more in the front instead of being bent up like a Tennessee Walker.
And as far as colors, they come in anything, or they have a predominant color?
They come just about any color.
Yeah.
Browns,
okay.
Yellows, palominas, black.
I'm looking here online for them, checking out the ones for sale. And you're right. I mean, every color in the book, and we're not even talking just solid colors. Here's a roan. Here's a chestnut. Here's a black and white paint. Here's a brown and white paint. Here's a palomino. Here's a black one. Here's a buckskin. There's a gruya. This is all on one page on equinenow.com. So there is definitely no shortage of different. I mean, every color is represented.
There's a color for everybody.
There's no. It's basically is what I'm getting is that this is like the complete United States mutt horse. It's everything. I mean that in the nicest way possible, by the way. But it is. There's every breed, every color. It's like all compiled into one. And then the people said, this is what we want. Perfect. And, yes, I am shopping, Glenn, because I know we do that all the time. And I've decided that I would like to have Rebel. He is from Van Zandt, Missouri. I mean, so you got to get a Missouri Fox Trotter from Missouri, right? Well, he is a stallion, and his price is only $6,000. He's about 14.3. Oh, my gosh, but he's so pretty. The other one is the other one I like is a stallion, and his name is Patriot's Twister, but he's $18,000. So can't afford that one. Really can't afford either one, but I'll take both.
I would, too.
So how many are there in the United States? How many are registered?
Actually, I think right now they have like 42,000 registered Missouri Fox Trotters.
Oh, gotcha. All right. And am I right in remembering, I read somewhere, I know at some point in the past, that they were popular like with forest rangers and things like that out in the woods when they were doing their duties?
Mm-hmm. They still do use them.
Is that right? Oh, cool.
Uh-huh. It's the most popular horse for the forest ranger right now.
So are they? So they're more slow and steady than fast. Like I'm wondering why they aren't used in endurance races.
Oh, they are. They're used in endurance and competitive trail. That's what I did competitive trail with mine.
Oh, cool! You know, we heard so much more about competitive trail riding than we've ever heard in the past.
Well, it's a lot of fun. I think everyone should try it. And it's a great way to learn how to take care of your horse.
Well, and, you know, everybody that we've had on that does competitive trail riding just seems to love, you know, doing it. They all seem to have a great time with it.
Well, you know, it's a group of people that like to do the same thing that you do.
Well, and you guys...
Well, that's any equine sport, though.
Yeah, that's
any equine sport. I'm like, that sounds like a venting. We're all out there to doing the same thing we like to do. So that's definitely... It just depends on what you like to do, I guess, in the horse world. But I think that's a cool idea. I think that the competitive trail sounds awesome.
And the best part about that is it doesn't have to be... You know, you don't have to have a winning show ring horse. It can be just, you know, just any kind of horse you want to come out and ride and have a good time. And it's all basically based on the conditioning of your horse.
One of the things that was just announced the other day is, and of course we kind of keep an eye on the North American Trail Ride Conference, and one of the things that was announced the other day was that a Missouri Foxtrotter was only one of nine horses in the North American Trail Ride Conference 50-year history to be inducted into the Horse Hall of Fame. Three-time consecutive President's Cup winner, Chargers Rampage, owned by Lisa Brooks of Alpharetta, Georgia. Thank you. Mm-hmm. More than qualifies for induction into the Horse Hall of Fame. In 16 years and 11,600 miles of competition, she earned 16 national championships. Those are some numbers. Do you know her?
I believe that's me.
Really?
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
11,600 miles. I think you were being a little humble.
Well, some days it seemed like it was a long ride. And other days, it seemed really short.
Isn't that true? Some days it just seems like that's on or off the horse. Some days it just seems like it's a long ride. That's true. Well, congratulations, 16 national championships.
It was exciting.
She loves to brag, Glenn.
I see that.
She's an animated bragger.
You're a little humble. Let me read some more statistics to you here, Jamie. This is just amazing stuff. During those 16 years, Chargers Rampage completed 198 rides, winning 39 sweepstakes, 57 first, and 134 third or better placings. If he was racing, he would have been in the money a lot. He and his owner traveled an estimated 150,000 trailer miles going to and from the NATRC rides in 18 states and Canada. To put his success into perspective, a minimum of 400 qualification points are required to be considered for the Horse Hall of Fame. This horse and this human that's on the phone here had 875, double the amount needed. So that's some wild riding there, girl.
It was like I said, long sometimes and short other days.
So congratulations. We really appreciate you stopping by. You know, obviously, and I'm looking at a picture of you here, too, actually. So what's happened to your horse now? What's up with Chargers Rampage?
I still have him, still ride him. I got a new horse, I guess, 2 years ago, and I'm competing on him some. I'm not competing as much as I used to, and I still ride Charger. We have a cabin in the mountains, and when we go up there every other weekend, I still ride him one day, and my husband rides my new horse. So I'm still riding, but I don't want to push him for competition.
How old is he now?
25, just turned 25.
Well, that just goes to show you've kept him in good shape and fed him well and treated him right, and he's still treating you right after all these years. So congratulations there. Where can people find out more about the Missouri Foxtrotter?
They can go online and look on NATRC, and it will have, you know, the different breeds, or you can get on the Missouri Foxtrotter Breed Association, and they can tell you what all they're used for and where you can get one.
All right. Sounds terrific. Well, thank you so much for being on with us this morning, and congratulations again on the Hall of Fame.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having us.
Bye, Lisa.
And that was Lisa from the Missouri Foxtrotters. I was hoping after I went through all of that she was going to say that's me and not throw me off there, but she did.
You're like, was that you? No, that's amazing. She was so quiet, and she, you know, and then all of a sudden you're like reading this resume. It doesn't matter what sport you're in or what you do. That was an impressive resume. And then, you know her? Yeah, that's me.
I know, and I was going,
what?
Okay, you've been a little humble here. You've ridden 11,600 miles in competition. Who can say that? With one horse.
That was me. Like, good Lord, I'd be like, heck yeah, that's me. That's right. You know, you'd be bragging about it. She's like, oh, that's me.
we appreciate her coming on. That was really cool to have her on. She is a champion, so... That was very nice of her to join us. You know, our song today is brought to you by Pocket Stable. Pocket Stable is the only iPhone app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all of their information, including vaccines, wormings, farrier, and dentist visits, together and easily accessible. You can also track weight and get reminders of important events, like when the next farrier visit is, when the next dentist visit is, things like that. And you can find Pocket Stable in the App Store on your iPhone or visit them at pocketstable.com. Well, on Friday, we had something that was so cool that happened here on the show. And I know it was really special for you. And that is an old friend of yours called in by the name of Lindsay Raker. And she called in because she heard you talking some smack about when the two of you used to perform together and
play guitar
and sing and all that stuff. Well, she has come up with a recording from those days of the two of you together that I thought we would play for everybody this morning.
That is a lie. She does not have a recording.
Are you sure?
Are you serious?
No, I was just kidding. But
now. So it's back up a little bit because you lied about that too. She did not hear the show and hear us talking about it. Glenn, behind the scenes, got on Facebook, found her, was like, hey, can you be on the show and let's pretend that I didn't tell you to call. And so you're telling me she's listening to the show. You lie like a rug is what you're doing right now. But I want to hear some Lindsey Raker's music because when Lindsey and I played together, we both just had, she had an acoustic guitar and a little harp, like little flute, and I had an acoustic guitar and a harmonica. So I'm dying to hear what the Lindsey Raker's band has right now. Since we played the T-Mobile Christmas party about 8 years ago when they were angry to see us there. That's Lindsey Raker's, LindseyRaker'sBand.com. You can also follow her on Facebook, which just search for Lindsey Raker's Band. And that was called Breaking Up. I love it. But you're listening to Horse. It was really, really good. And, listening. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, I wanted to give you some kudos here. You know, when she first called in, when this whole thing started to transpire last week, I said, well, you know, I better listen to her. And I went over to her website, and I was very impressed with some of her songs. Now, some of it's country, some of it's rock. You know, she does a little bit of both. I'm assuming, were you just doing covers at the time? See, this is the part that I didn't know either that you left out of this whole conversation, and she just kind of threw in, was that you were writing a lot of songs.
Glenn, I don't do covers, my friend. There's no cover in the world that I could play as good as a real artist. So I've learned a long time ago, just write your own songs and then nobody can compare it to anybody else.
Well, I'm impressed.
So I wrote my own stuff, and so did Lindsay, and we wrote a bunch of songs together. I mean, again, you know, she's way good now, and she was always a heck of a lot better than me. So I was like, do you ever see that episode of Friends where Phoebe hooked up with, like, her old friend from college or whatever, and Phoebe is, like, the smelly cat girl, and then her friend is, like, super awesome? That was me, and that was Lindsay. I was the Phoebe, and I was, like, singing Smelly Cat, and then, you know, Lindsay was the super rock star who was way more awesome than I was. So it was nice to ride her coattails for a while. And, you know, I started playing guitar because I was afraid to speak in public. So I thought if I could sing in public, I could speak in public a lot more. And, well, heck, that worked. You know, I have a radio show, so I'm not too scared anymore. So it served its purpose.
The other reason I picked this particular song is because it's called Breaking Up. And, you know, from what I understand about from the time when you knew Lindsay and you were on the radio in Atlanta, pretty much – every topic of every conversation was which guy you were breaking up with at the particular time. So I figure she wrote that song about you.
I don't know. I'm not. No comment. No comment at all. I didn't think about that. I'm coming after you, Rakers. No, I'm
I was
sure
really surprised it's... your name wasn't in it, actually. I listened closely the first time I listened to it, and I was listening for... Janie's name in the song, and it wasn't there. And I figured she was just being nice and left it out.
Lindsay's smart. If she put my name in the song, she'd have to pay me royalties. So she's a savvy businesswoman. But no, it was awesome to have her on the show on Friday. And you know, should we tease what we were going to do coming up? Because
please.
This is actually really special. You know, we kind of do those musical episodes once a month. We did Templeton Thompson. We've done Marianne Kennedy. We've done the Cowboy, and we're going to have Lindsay actually on for our next musical episode. She's a little bit busy at work this week, so we're going to record it next week and play it and kind of get caught up with Lindsay's music and see what she's doing. And, you know, definitely not a horse person, but I think I did put her on a horse once or twice, so I'm sure she'll have a good story about that. but we just love to support the, you know, the musician who is out there. They're paying for their own records to come out. They're working very hard. They're doing the circuits of the bars and the coffee houses. And I know Lindsay works very hard. She has a full-time job, and she also has this full-time band. So and she also has a full-time husband. So I don't know how she does it all, but we're going to have to find out in that musical episode with Lindsay.
All right. That sounds like fun. I'm looking forward to that. And as you were trying to say, and I so rudely interrupted you a little bit ago, you listen to The Horses in the Morning with Glenn the Geek and Jamie Jennings, superstar harmonica player. And we haven't forgotten that's going to happen before the end of the show. She promised. And I'm surprised she even found it. Did you have to go out and buy a new one and put $25 on my credit card, or did you find this one?
I wish I had your credit card. That'd be awesome.
Which is exactly why you don't have it, by the way.
Exactly. No, the show today is brought to you by Omega Alpha. We got to say that. But no, I actually found a harmonica from, oh gosh, from back in my musical days. And there's a couple of the little, I don't even know what they're called because I never actually learned how to play harmonica. I just started playing it. They're little holes, and you blow in, and it's like, ooh, and then you suck in, and it's like, ooh. Well, some of them, when you blow it, it sounds like, ooh, and then when you suck in, it's like, so some of the little holes are warped and they don't work anymore, but I'm going to give it a try, but I have to keep people on their toes, Glenn, and I have to wait till my husband wakes up before I start, you know, playing, waking him up with the mouth harp. So we are going to have to talk to Dr. Chang first, and then maybe I'll play after that.
Well, I wanted to tell you, too, in case you're a little rusty, There's a website called harmonica.com, and their advertisement is, do you want to sound amazing on the harmonica in just 7 minutes a day? Click here. So I figured that if you're, you know, if you're a little rusty and you want to, you know, you want to get back into it, you just go to harmonica.com and click there. And it'll, and amazingly, in 7 minutes a day, you're going to be an expert. And oh,
Glenn?
I went for $99.95.
I'll put it on your credit card. Actually, you know, that's the greatest idea for you.
Oh, for
you
me.
You should do
yeah.
that and see if you can beat me out in the harmonica playing challenge. We'll have a harmonica playing challenge next Monday. You've got 1 week, 7 minutes a day. That's only 49 minutes for you to work hard and get it done.
It didn't say how long, how many days of 7 minutes it would take. It just says in 7 minutes a day. It didn't say for a week or a month or 10 years. In my case, it would be like 20 years. I have no musical talent whatsoever. Remember, I was the one that owned an acting company. We had 20 performers. We did 450 shows over 10 years. And in that entire time, none of them would let me sing anything because I was so bad. And I owned the company. I played the king, for God's sake, and they still wouldn't let me sing. Basically, they all said, if you ever sing again, after they heard me the first time, if you ever sing again, we're going to quit, and you're going to be doing the show by yourself, and there will only be a king. There'll be no wenches, there'll be no royalty, there'll be no jester, there'll be nothing. It'll just be me. So that's at the point where I realized that I must really be bad, and I just basically suck.
That's pretty much it. Take it however you will. It's kind of like 7 minute abs, where you only have to do, you know, eight-minute abs, where you have to only work out 8 minutes a day, but you have to do it for, like, 150 years to the time.
I was going to say, have you seen my abs? All right. Let's get to something that our sponsors can actually be proud of. And we did a little segment with Dr. Gordon Chang, who is the person who founded and runs Omega Alpha, our title sponsor for today. And they're also our title sponsors over on the Stable Scoop radio show. And on Stable Scoop, we had them on to talk about, it's springtime, grass is growing in certain parts of the country, unfortunately not in your part, but grass is growing, turning very green, and horses are going to be getting sick if you're not careful. So we actually talked to him a little bit about what can you do, why do horses get sick when they eat grass? You know, we all know that horses colic when the grass comes up and they eat too much. But why do they colic when, and he explains it so well. I'm very impressed by Dr. Chang. He just is the best at explaining this kind of stuff. So we thought we'd play a little bit of the interview for you from Stable Scoop, from the stablescoop.com. And then if you want to hear the rest of this interview, you can hop on over there. But here is the first part of that interview with Dr. Chang. And Jamie and I will be back to talk about some news here that, some wild news from the weekend. Do you realize that there are more escaped horses this weekend than I've seen in the news in a long time, and they're not all in England? And also, I have another story out of guess where about a drunken rider who got arrested. You'll never guess what state that was in. And we'll be back to hear all about that shortly, right after Dr. Chang from the Stable Scoop radio show with Helena and I. Well, let's go to Dr. Gordon Chang to find out how we can keep those horses that you love so much out in your backyard healthy.
Welcome, Dr. Chang. Of course, I am so happy to have you back on the Stable Scoop Show. We are talking today about how to help our horses maintain optimal digestive health. With the spring coming up, we've got lots of changes in weather. We've got lots of changes in forage. And you're here to talk to us today about how we can what steps we might take and what things we might have our horses or what we might introduce to them as the spring comes around in order to keep their tummies healthy and happy.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me again on your show, Helena and Glenn, at the Stable Scoop. One of the things that happens during spring is that we have a lot of fresh green grass coming out. And one of the problems with fresh green grass is that when you've been feeding your horse hay all through the winter, he comes out on fresh green grass. He goes hog wild or she goes hog wild on that fresh green grass. Eating that much fresh green grass all of a sudden does have consequences. One of them is spring colic. And another thing that happens could lead further on down the line is founder or laminitis. But first of all, I'd like to address the spring colic section. One of the biggest problems with fresh green grass is that it's very high in sugar, and it's also very high in water. So as a result of that, pound for pound, fresh green grass has a lot less fiber than hay. And the result of that, if you have less fiber coming into the horse, one of the problems is that it decreases motility in the gut. Anytime you have a decrease in motility in the gut, you're setting yourself up for colic.
Now, what's motility, Dr. Chang? What's that?
Motility means, normally the gut has moves stuff up and down. I shouldn't say up and down, but mainly moves it down. As soon as you eat something, it starts contracting, so then it moves the food down the small intestine, all through the GI tract, and finally coming out in the colon, and then finally coming out the back end as poop, right?
Right.
As manure. And the process of moving it down the GI tract is motility.
Okay.
They call that gut motility, right? Normally that has there's a pace of it which it goes on, right? There are many different things that affect gut motility. One of them is bulk, meaning how much fiber you have in there. Sometimes nervous issues also can cause motility to slow down. And that's why if you have a nervous horse, sometimes, it tends to be more colicky because the gut is moving, all right? So one of the ways that people have tried to prevent the spring colic is that don't leave your horse chewing on fresh grass for a long time. Limit his intake, right, and supplement it with some hay. Right.
So what I'm hearing, Dr. Chang, is it would be like you said, high in sugar, and we know it's exceptionally tasty. That's why they like it. So basically, it would be from us going and eating high quality cereal to all candy bars.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, there's no such thing as high quality cereal these days. Everything is full of sugar.
Oatmeal.
Right.
Can I use oatmeal?
Except oatmeal. Yes, oatmeal.
Okay.
Right. That's basically what we have to do. So we limit their intake, right? But you make sure they still get free choice hay, and a lot of it's kicking around. And what happens is that if they supplement that grass intake, the fresh grass, with the hay actually increases the fiber content in the gastrointestinal tract, and it helps prevent colic. And another thing that people should be using is also probiotics. Because again, one of the things is if you use a lot of, if you eat a lot of grass, right, again, the amount of sugars in there, it changes the probiotic balance in the gut. Anytime you have a change in the probiotic balance in the gut, you could potentially set yourself up for colic issues, right?
So
I'm not saying that.
I'm sorry. So
sorry,
as the horse is transitioning from one season to the next and one type of forage, so example from an all hay diet to the grass, it's this transition
right.
where that would create the imbalance.
That's right.
Okay.
And that in itself could set yourself up for some colic issues, right? Okay. So if you supplement the feed with some probiotics, what you're trying to do is maintain gut health with probiotics. Right, and that's a definite plus that really helps with the digestive tract. All right. One of the other issues too with colic in the springtime, it seems North America, also Australia, and also in Europe, sometimes you have certain larvae that hatch in the spring. All right. Now, if you deworm your horse on a regular basis, usually it's not a huge problem, but if you don't deworm your horse, sometimes you can get colic because of larvae being hatched, and when just sheer numbers of these larvae can cause a colic situation to occur, right? So it's also a good idea to deworm your horse in the spring. Now you can use a natural dewormer, or you can use, your standard pharmaceutical type dewormers.
Now, I've never heard of a natural dewormer. What would that be?
Oh, there are a lot of different herbs that will help deworm a horse. And the reason I prefer the natural dewormer is because they're not usually specific for any one parasite, so they usually have a broad spectrum. And usually when you have a broad spectrum, it means it's active against a large variety of parasites or of worms. Secondly, it's a lot gentler on the horse. That's the upside to natural dewormers. The downside to natural dewormers is that usually you got to use it for a longer period of time as opposed to the pharmaceutical ones. The pharmaceutical ones, you take it one shot one day and you're usually good. Mm. You know, but the reason with the natural dewormers, you have to probably feed it over a few days to get the full effect on the horse. That's another reason why it's usually gentler on the horse's system than the pharmaceutical dewormers. So it's like I would say to most people, it's, you know, you got to weigh the pros and the cons, right? When you're doing the dewormers, whether it's a natural one you choose or whether it's a pharmaceutical one.
Where do you find a natural? I'm with her. I've never. That's new to me. So where would you find one? Or what do you do?
Well, I mean, there are several companies that make natural dewormers. We do one. The only problem we have with natural dewormers are considered a drug. And anytime we start saying that we make a natural dewormer, we get our hands slapped.
Ah, okay, right.
Right, so that's where we have a problem with it. But, I mean,
They exist. And so someone can go out there and we can search, or we can even talk to our veterinarians about a natural alternative to worm.
Your veterinarian may not know it as much, but if you go to the tax store, I guarantee you the tax stores may carry a natural dewormer.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. And obviously you guys have it. You guys
You do.
Okay.
Yeah. Omega Alpha does make one. Now,
I had no idea. I had no idea it existed. I had no idea you guys made one. This is great. Because you know what? I think a lot of people wouldn't mind the inconvenience of having to administer a natural dewormer over a couple of days, you know, compared to the chemical dewormers are harsh. So
it's,
I know
it's a lot harsher on your horse. That's correct. Now, one of the other things I would say about the springtime on fresh grass, I mean, this is a well-known problem. Lots of people have it. I've seen it. It's again, the laminitis, laminitis and founder because of fresh grass, right? And that is a result of, nobody really knows why, but we do know that if you feed your horse a high sugar, high carbohydrate diet, that leads to, especially in the springtime, that leads to founder issues if your horse is already susceptible to founder. Again, the best treatment for that is to minimize intake, right? So I know you want to let your horse loose on the fresh grass, etc., but sometimes too much of a good thing is not really that great for a horse.
Well, there we go. That was Dr. Gordon Chang, and he was part of the Stable Scoop radio show over at stablescoop.com. That was part of the interview we did with him, and you can hear the rest of that just by going to stablescoop.com, and that was the most recent episode. Well, Jamie, we have some news that we have to get to today because there was just a lot of news over the weekend, wasn't there?
There certainly was, and I guess I want to start out with, a lot has been said about Uncle Mo, and Uncle Mo being the Derby candidate that he is, and he's, you know, hasn't lost a race, and he wins them all by a mile, and he's just this amazing super horse. Well, I kind of want to bring to everybody else's attention another favorite, and the more I read about this horse, the more I love this horse. The horse's name is Mucho Macho Man. And he was named actually after the Village People song, Macho, Macho Man, I Want to Be a Macho Man. Thank you. You'll have that in your head the rest of the day. So he was named after that. The Village People have been contacting the owners asking to come to the Derby. And they're like, we don't know. We don't know if you guys are going to come dressed up as, you know, the fireman and the handyman or whatever. So there's a lot of buzz about this horse, Mucho Macho Man. And what really makes me like it is actually trained by a woman a female named Kathy Rietvo, and I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but she actually has suffered a heart transplant. She had cardiomyopathy and underwent a heart transplant and came back and is now training racehorses again and has a I don't know how with a heart condition you could train a racehorse, because my God, it's like really stressful.
It's a racehorse.
I know. I actually am kind of excited about them. You can follow Mucho Macho Man on Facebook. He's kind of got the same vein of Uncle Mo as what he writes and he blogs and all that kind of stuff. So definitely check that out. We're going to be following up on the son of Macho Uno, Mucho Macho Man. Say that five times fast. I'm pretty excited. He's going to make his next start on March 26th. At the Louisiana Derby. So we don't have very long to wait till we see him run again.
Now, Jennifer, didn't you have a conversation that you were kind of excited about with him last week?
Yes, I spoke with Dean, who is one of Triple M's owners, and I think we're going to be hearing pretty regularly from the folks at the Triple M camp coming up here real soon. It's very exciting that they're going to be checking in with us regularly, keep us up to date on the road to the Derby. And this week on Thursday, Patty, who is Dean's wife and also a co-owner of Mucho Macho Man, so they have all kinds of great pet names for him there on the webpage or on the Facebook page. She's going to be stopping by because he will have just arrived in Louisiana on Thursday for his start in the Louisiana Derby he's in on Saturday?
Yep.
His next race on Saturday. So she's going to be stopping by with an update on how he's doing. Patty's going to come on for us because Dean's going to be at the barn.
Awesome. Is that cool?
Isn't that cool? We get the wife of the owner, or she is an owner, actually.
She's one of the co-owners, that's right.
She's one of the co-owners is going to come on with us and keep us updated on our little old radio show here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reading all the articles, and it's Patty Reeves who's the one who brought the colt initially to the village people's attention, so she could probably tell us that story. How do you just call the village people and they're like, hey, what's up? I got a horse. Named after your son.
And I want to know who answers. Is it the cop? One of them died, didn't they? Like the Indian or one of them died? I can't remember which one died.
Yeah. I don't know, but you call them and it's like, hello, village people.
Or just the guy with the really deep voice say, hello, village people. You know, I don't know.
Village people. Thank you for calling. But I love it because they're like, okay, you got a horse, big deal. Now they're calling going, hey, can we get tickets to the Derby?
So
I'm sure it's going to be a great story. And that's cool because Patty and Dean are the co-owners of the horse. So they bought him, I guess, a year ago. And they've taken them through all sorts of races. So it's going to be awesome to talk to them. Good job, Jennifer. I'm excited.
Did you know that the Village People still have a website? The official villagepeople.com website.
Oh, my God. They've got
apparently
a website.
Apparently, they're still on tour.
Of course they are. They're the Village
Today,
People.
Today, they're doing a private event in Chicago.
You're so surprised, Glenn.
Well, I was kind of surprised, actually. And they're going to be in Mexico on April the 2nd doing a thing. And they're going to be in Sackerville, Oklahoma, coming up.
We don't care. Let's put that in the we don't care file.
I was just going to say, and obviously these are really big shindigs they're doing out there, the Village People.
Let's put that in the TMI file.
Well, and that's good. We're excited to be talking to them. That'll be a lot of fun. Give us somebody else to root for during the Kentucky Derby. Something else that, you know, when we lived in, when I grew up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, we were very populated with horse and buggies because it's the heart of Amish country. That's where the Amish started out, was in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Well, one of the things that happens when you're growing up as an Amish kid is you have to sow your wild oats, and you have to do that before you join the church, and that's called Rumspringa. And one of the things
before Rumspringer, I actually lived in Amish country too, and what I would see every day when I was out at I was in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, and I worked at a place called South Barn, which is a big eventing barn, and every afternoon after school there would be a buggy full of Amish teenagers that would have a boombox stored in the roof of their buggy, and they would blast the music, and there'd be like 25 Amish kids hanging outside this buggy on the roof on the outside, blasting a ghetto blaster, I guess would be what it was called, a little boombox, and that was like their wild craziness. So you have a better story about the Amish.
Yes, I do, because one of the things that we used to see a lot, because you'd see the horse and buggies out, and when the kids would get to be about 16, 17 years old, they'd get their own buggy and they'd get their own horse. Well, they used to buy the real racing horses right off the track. They loved the standardbreds that came off the track, and the hotter, the better. And one of the things we used to see on a regular basis, and why more of them didn't die, I'm not sure, was them racing down the road on both sides of the road, actually physically racing down the road. And it used to be a great thing to do on Saturday night when you took your date out was race your buggies. Well, we race cars, they race buggies, kind of makes sense. So, didn't end so well on one in Ohio, up there where you were talking about, Ashland, Ohio. Apparently, two of the young Amish men decided to race their buggies down, get this, to church last Sunday. And, yeah, it's not usually when they did it. It usually happened on Saturday night. And it ended with one of them being involved in a collision with a car, no kidding. You know, when you're racing your buggy down the side of the road, down both sides of the road, that's what happens. Apparently, he tried to overtake his cousin over a blind hill and found himself in the path of an approaching car, at which point the buggies were side by side. He tried to swerve back into his own lane, but the left side of the buggy was struck by the approaching car, driven by a woman who was heading to church in the opposite direction. The horse was uninjured in the accident, everybody's happy to hear. Raver's two brothers who were in the buggy were also going to church and escaped injury, because there's never one person in a buggy, there's always a dozen of them, like I said. He was charged with driving on the left center and an offense which carries a fine of about $100. And I assume that, how do you call your insurance company and say, well, there's a buggy in my side of the road, you know? But so there was two buggies colliding. You know, they used to get in so much trouble. During Rumspringa, they used to have these huge, huge barn dances and hoedowns, basically. And they used to bust them every year. Over in Intercourse, Pennsylvania, of all places, they used to bust the same party every year in Intercourse and arrest like 100 Amish kids. And they would have kegs and kegs of beer and bands, rock and roll bands playing, and they used to come in every year and bust them for underage alcoholism every single year in Intercourse. Yeah, that used to happen.
The name of the town that the Amish live in is Intercourse?
You've never heard that? Well, are you living under a rock there, Jenny? I thought everybody in the country had heard of Intercourse. You know, you have to drive through Blue Ball to get to Intercourse to get to... Care to take a guess?
I have no idea.
Well, you have to go through Intercourse to get to Paradise.
Oh, my God. Is this real?
Yes.
This is real.
Are you serious?
This is real.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And my mother used to have a little shop in Burdenhand.
No way. Stop. This is ridiculous.
No, it's the real deal.
Yeah, and there's a Virginville, and there's a...
there's Blue Ball.
Blue Ball, that's right, yeah. I actually spent a lot of time at Blue Ball.
It's a very earthy kind of town. They like to call it earthy humor.
Yes. Intercourse was actually because of the intersection of two roads. That's what they said, anyway. That's how it got its name. And it's probably the most sold town sign in America. You know, I've been to Intercourse, big sign, or welcome to Intercourse. That one, they sell a lot of those in Intercourse. Intercourse is pretty much now just a town full of little shops selling Intercourse stuff. Pretty much what Intercourse is. All right, so that was my one story. Did you see the pictures I posted of Reese Witherspoon?
I didn't pore over the pictures of Reese Witherspoon riding a horse as much as I'm sure you did. But go ahead, tell everybody Reese Witherspoon on the back of a horse. It's huge news.
Well,
go ahead.
This is from our friends at thehorsepedia.com. Posted some early pictures of Reese riding her paint horse for the upcoming movie Water and Elephants, which I can't wait to see. And they actually had some pictures that they posted of her water. What was that?
I think it's Water for Elephants.
Water for Elephants, yes. And she's riding a pretty paint and actually kind of looks like she knows what she's doing. And, you know, I studied them very carefully to make sure that her posture was correct and, you know, that everything was right about the pictures, of course. You know,
of
just
course.
For her riding style, yes, because she's not hot or anything. So,
well, what's wrong with the photo then? There's one glaring error, Glenn. What is the what is wrong with it?
I don't see any glaring errors, Jamie. There's nothing glaring and or error when it involves Reese Witherspoon. I just want to correct you there. Don't see anything wrong. Do you?
Yeah, there is one humongous glaring error that I can't believe you haven't noticed, but I guess you're blinded by, I'm sure, not the blonde hair, but the black and white Overo paint that she's riding. Is that what it was?
Are you saying that, but see, if she was wearing a helmet, it would be covering up the beautiful blonde hair that's blowing in the breeze.
She's not wearing a helmet, but I guess you're filming a movie and you probably have a stunt double doing all the hard stuff anyway. So, but I think she looks amazing. I like Reese Witherspoon a lot. I'm not trying to be a hater. I'm not trying to drink from my haterade, okay?
Well, I'm going to post a picture or I'm going to post a link to I'm going to post a link to these pictures at Horsepedia, and we appreciate they've been on our show before, so we appreciate them posting and sharing that. And Karen just posted on Facebook, Jamie, Glenn is telling the truth about the names of the town in Pennsylvania. I live an hour away, and the names were great conversation pieces when I was in school. Yes, they were, because we lived in New Holland, which the next town over was Intercourse. At one point, we lived in a place where we had
it.
To go through, okay, so get this now. At one place, we lived in a Jennifer and I lived in a place where we'd have to go through Burden Hand, through Intercourse, and then Paradise. It was that order of events. So I just thought I'd throw that out there.
You know, the only reason I believe this story is because Karen posted about it. Only because she said so. Well, I believe you. That is the only reason.
Now, do you want to tell the latest in, you know how in England we're always busted on them because they have their horses are always getting out and running in the roads and causing mischief? Well, Texas now seems to be the place of drunken riders. Do you want to tell that story? You want me to tell it?
You know what? You go ahead and tell it, but I'm going to go get my harmonica ready because I'm about to bring it.
Okay, good. This guy, 19 years old, Omar Pisano, was leaving a party after spring break in Huffman, Texas, the other morning. Leaving the party at 6 a.m., had a few too many, and decided that, you know, he'd ride his horse to the party because that would be a safe way to get home after he had drank all of that. Well, apparently his horse was all over the place riding down the road, and three deputies caught up with him about 6 a.m. in the 2100 blocks of FM 2100 and say he was legally intoxicated. He was told that he was riding while intoxicated, at which point he said, I didn't know that was against the law. And they said, yeah, it's pretty much against the law. So they arrested his butt, threw him in jail, but not before, while being in the back of the cruiser, he managed to get the cuffs in front of him and beat the crap out of the back of the cruiser, kicking it and, you know, basically destroying the whole back of the cruiser. He was mad, apparently, he says, because his cowboy hat given to him by his deceased father was missing. And he realized that when he got into the back of the cruiser. And he said a deputy was wearing it, and that made him mad, so he started destroying things. The deputies claimed there was no cowboy hat. And, you know, I don't know who you want to believe in that whole story, the very drunk guy riding down the middle of the road on his horse at 6 a.m. in the morning, or the deputy, I'm not sure who you want to believe. But it just angered him so much, he completely destroyed the back of the cruiser. And now he's being charged with multiple offenses. By the way, he never recovered the cowboy hat. But the horses are fine. They impounded the horse for a while, and they decided to let him go. So he now has his horses back. He's out on bond and awaiting trial for riding drunk.
They didn't let the horse go, okay? They didn't be free, Flicka.
No, I think they actually in Texas have a place to put him.
Yeah, you're like, oh, they let the horse go. Well, they didn't actually just take the bridle and saddle off and turn him out like Hidalgo at the end, you know?
So that's going to become the newest thing is the Texas stories about drunken riders at 6 in the morning.
I think it's awesome.
All right, are we ready? Do I don't have any, like, intro music. I have the cheering ready.
I don't need your intro music. I got my own intro music, but I got a little surprise for you. I've actually never played harmonica with my hands. Like, I don't play harmonica with my hands. It sits around that little thing around my neck.
You mean that dorky thing around your neck?
Yeah, it's like having headgear on when you have braces. Kind of. It's like your retainer. So I've never played harmonica with my hands. So I was putting it on the thing and my little blow thingy headgear. So then I had my hands free. So then I thought, well, I better pick up a guitar and play that because I don't play harmonica without playing the guitar. So can you hear this?
Yes,
did
we can.
That come through?
Yeah.
Okay. So can you hear this?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I practiced like crazy all weekend, or I practiced for 4 minutes yesterday before the cookout. So I'm still a little rusty. 4 minutes of practice, and I haven't played in about 10 years. So here we go. I'm a little nervous. Watch out.
All right, this is Jamie Jennings on the harmonica and the guitar.
It never happened again.
Although, I will admit, you know, it might be through the system here, but the harmonica does sound like it needs some tuning up. I don't know if you tune up harmonicas or just buy a new one. But
listen, it's completely in tune with the guitar. Trust me, I did that at 5:15 this morning before the stupid show started.
That
and
was
my husband here just gave me a high five. I didn't wake him up. That's why we had to wait this long. But he's up, and he's proud.
You know I'm going to be cutting that clip and playing it often, don't you?
Glenn, if I can just get the clip of you talking about going through blue balls to get to intercourse and the paradise, then if I could cut that, I would. So if you could do me the favor of putting that next to the song, that would be great.
Or over the song. Maybe the words to the song.
Oh, my God, that's genius. Blue balls to get to paradise. Thank God this isn't sanctioned by the FCC.
No. Thank you, everybody, for listening in today. We appreciate it. Thank you, Jamie, for coming out of the closet. Jamie is out of the closet. She'll be having a guitar in her lap every day now. And
you
can listen to all the shows, including the Stable Scoop Show, for the rest of Dr. Chang at horseradionetwork.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at Horses in the Morning, because we're over 2,000 now, and on Twitter at Horse Radio.
And if you missed this fantastic live show, you can listen to the recorded version over and over again on our website, affiliate websites, or iTunes. You don't have to miss an episode. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern. I have no idea what we're talking about because all I cared about was not screwing up the harmonica. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, Jamie. Nice job.